service preached from the pulpit of Holy Cross Anglican Church in Alpine, Texas. Seeking to be faithful witnesses to the one faith once for all delivered to the saints, these homilies are designed to bring forward the faith of the undivided church into our own day, to shape our thinking, to form the pattern of our lives so that we may learn to take up our cross and follow our Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, one God.
Amen.
Lent is very quickly drawing us on to its end. But before we arrive at the destination that Lent has been leading us toward, I want to reflect for just a moment upon the path which we have already traveled, the path that has brought us here to this day, Palm Sunday. We've spent these last several weeks out in the wilderness. We followed him out into the wilderness to take up the fight against the passions. Not because the passions are inherently evil. We have taken up this fight against the passions. We have taken up this fight against being dominated by our instincts, by our appetites. For our passions are those things which will overcome us, which will rule over us, if we do not learn by the Spirit to rule over them. For if we live by our feelings, if we live according to our emotions, if we let our bodily appetites dictate our agenda, we will, no doubt, give our loyalty and our love to something other than the God to whom alone this allegiance is due. So for these last weeks, through fasting, through almsgiving, and through prayer, we have been learning what it means to worship the one true and living God. We have been learning what it means to take on his likeness, to be conformed to his image. And we continue today on this path, on this journey that began earlier today with the blessing of the palms before this service of Holy Communion. And there we went through the village of Bethphage, and we watched the two disciples being sent ahead to prepare the donkey and her colt. And we watched as Jesus mounted up, and we followed him as he rode out of the village, down the Mount of Olives, across the Kidron Valley, and up the other side of Mount Jebus, and we followed him all the way to Jerusalem. But what's the significance of our Lord's riding this donkey? Well, one thing that we must be sure of, it isn't because he's too tired to walk. It is with great purpose and intention that he makes this journey into the holy city riding upon this donkey. He knows what he is about. He knows that he is the one who has come as the fullness of the law and the prophets. And this act of riding upon the donkey is a powerful sign of exactly who he is and what he has come to Jerusalem to do in these days. And we heard it in our Old Testament lesson from the book of the prophet Zechariah. There we heard the prophet speaking of the coming of the Messiah and the restoration of the kingdom that would come with the Messiah. And the prophet says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass." And our Lord's taking his place on the back of this beast of burden, we are shown in no uncertain terms exactly what this day is all about. Here is the long-awaited king. Here is David's greater son who has come to bring justice and salvation. He is coming today to establish the long-awaited kingdom, this kingdom in which righteousness dwells. And though we today have the benefit of hindsight to make sense of this day, those who have come to Jerusalem to celebrate this Passover that will end all Passovers know exactly what's going on here too. They see Jesus as he makes his way up the side of the mountain. And on the back of this donkey, they know how to read the signs. This is their king coming to them. This is the Messiah coming to them to bring justice and salvation. And so they welcome him as such. They straw the road before Jesus with palm branches. They take their coats off their backs and they put them on the ground before him and make this road into the holy city, a royal highway. They cry, "Hosanna," which literally means "save now." They want to see the kingdom of God established. There is a part of them that really does desire righteousness and justice. They desire the reign of righteousness and justice. They want the blessings of the promised kingdom. "Hosanna, save now," they say to the Son of David. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And the whole city is shaking. It's trembling in excitement and anticipation because they think that the moment of their salvation has come upon them, and they are exactly right. But something goes wrong, because the salvation they want is not the salvation that they need or that Christ has come to bring. They want the kingdom if it means the driving out of the Romans. They want the kingdom if it means that they will be the powerful ones in this world. They want a king just like Caesar, only in Israel. They want a king who will put all other nations in their place. That's what they want. And I think that's what many of them expect to see happen when the words of the prophet are fulfilled, when the king comes to them with the promise of justice and salvation. Their hearts are attuned to the things of the present age. And because they have attuned their hearts to the things and desires that are temporal and not eternal, they are sorely disappointed. Because Jesus doesn't go to the Roman garrison to drive out the occupiers. He doesn't go to Pilate and demand the withdrawal of all Roman interference. But that's what they want. They want to play the power games of the fallen world, because they have been deluded to think that this is what justice, that this is what salvation is all about. Jesus doesn't do what they expect, but he does answer their prayer of save now. Only it's answered in a way far different than they expected. Jesus goes to the temple. He goes to the one place that the Israelites think is okay. That's where he goes, and he drives out those who have turned this house that had been built to be a dwelling place of God into a den of thieves. People are scandalized because they wanted justice as long as it meant that other people had to change. They wanted salvation if it meant that they would be exalted. We see here how this multitude who saw Jesus coming to them, riding upon an ass in the foal of an ass, and who rightly recognize that this means that their salvation is upon them, we see how it is that they can go from saying Hosanna today to open rejection later this week. Crucify him, crucify him, we heard in our gospel lesson. His blood be upon us and upon our children. So were they wrong to hail him as their king? No, they were exactly right in their response to his entrance. It was just as we heard in the liturgy of the palm, they really were following in the light that God had given them in their strawing the road with the palms and olive branches and their clothes. Things went wrong so quickly. How? They were trying to fit the kingdom of God into the categories of the kingdoms of this world. They were counting success and failure in the very same way as the rest of the world. They think of prosperity and the good life in very much the same way that the pagan occupiers do. The difference between the Romans and the Israelites is simply one of national identity. But what about us? By what standard do we judge the good life? By what standard do we judge the abundant life that Christ has come to bring? By what standard do we judge one thing success and another failure? We are today among those who sing Hosanna with our voice. But what do we proclaim with our life? Will we be like our forefathers who miss their own rescue because the Savior they want is not the Savior they need? We come to Holy Week through the way of Lent because we remember that we are the ones that need to be set right. We are the ones that need to be rescued. We who have been created to be the dwelling place of God in the Spirit, we are the ones who need to be cleansed. We need to be made whole. But it is today just as it was in our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. It is the pure in heart who see God. It is the pure of heart who are given to see and judge according to the light of heaven. But purity of heart does not come in our being exalted. Purity of heart comes in following the steps of our Lord. That's the point of the epistle for Palm Sunday from Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, the apostle begins, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In these very words from our epistle, we find ourselves coming to the destination that Lent has been leading us to. We have come to Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday to follow our Lord in the way of the cross. But we don't go this way this week as outside observers, but as those whose very life and story is defined by what will happen over these next few days. We today seek the mind of Christ. We seek the mind of this one who is God in the flesh, who is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Ghost, this one who makes himself of no reputation and takes the form of a slave. This is the same mind that we are called to put on, the mind through which we are to understand, the mind by which we judge success or failure, gain or loss. We have just entered into Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday, and even though we know where this path is leading, we heard the whole story in our gospel lesson. Let us eagerly follow our Lord throughout this week. Let us follow the path that he has pioneered for us, not because it's the path of least resistance, but because it's the only path that leads to life. It is the cross that will bring justice to the whole world. It is the cross that will lead to the glory that lives forever. Now, when we say words like justice, there are some very funny ideas popular right now. You cannot turn on the news or open a newspaper without being assaulted by these crazy notions about justice. But our Lord doesn't bring us some half-semblance. He shows us what true justice is, and he also shows us to true glory. The epistle today closes with a preview of what lies on the other side of this week, a preview of what is going to be achieved as we go with Christ in this way of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So let us follow him today in this way of the cross, for this is the path that will bring us into the eternal kingdom that will never fail. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, one God.
Thank you for listening to Homilies from Holy Cross. If you would like to know more about Holy Cross, you can check us out online at holycrossalpine.org. And you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Homilies from Holy Cross is a production of Holy Cross Anglican Church in Alpine, Texas.